Well, I tell you what. One thing we can say for certain is that these playoffs have not been boring. Holy crap. Here we are at the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. Thanks for joining us. If you're watching on one of the live streams, we're glad to have you. If you're listening to us on your regular streams on whether it be Spotify, which is under a lot of controversy, we are not Joe Rogan, so you don't have to boycott us. We're listening to Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Podcaster Castro. We want to thank you for tuning in. And I tell you what, this is something we decided to do. It's an Eagles podcast, but we said, you know, hey, the playoffs seem to be really exciting, so why don't we just, even though, talk about them, even though it doesn't have anything to do with the Eagles. The Eagles are out, lost in the first round, but hey, we made it. And I tell you, I'm glad we did, because this, to me, I honestly have to say, watching these games the last few weeks, even with the Eagles in, these have been some of the most exciting NFL playoff games I think I've seen since I've been alive. I mean, I've seen some good playoff games, but usually it's like one or two out of the whole thing. I mean, you've watched a lot of football. We know how the usual, you know, how it usually goes. It's usually, you know, the wild card round. You know, we may get a couple of upsets, but once you get to the divisional and the conference championship, those home teams usually cover and cover well. It's usually kind of, okay, another 20-point blowout. You get, one or two good games. But I have not seen this many road teams or underdogs, not, you know, just cover, but out-and-out win. And, man, I'm definitely entertained this season, regardless of who's in it. But what a crazy weekend.
Yeah, man, it's like it's been a defensive, besides the Patriots game, besides the Bills Chiefs games where it was just a shootout, especially right there at the end. A lot of the games, you know, if you look at every Bengals game, you know, the game against the Raiders, you know, that was kind of it wasn't a blow your socks off game, and they just kind of went out there and, you know, won. And same thing with the who did they beat next? They beat the Titans. You know, they were up 16-6, and, you know, 16-16 going into the half. You know, then even with the Bengals against the Chiefs, you know, Chiefs put up 21 pretty quick. But then the rest of the game, now you're looking at a 21-21 or 24-24 going in overtime. So the game kind of really slowed down in that second half. Just the opposite happened, basically, with the 21 points unanswered, 21 points unanswered, you know, to tie it up and lock it up. So in every game, and every Niners game has just been a scratch out. Yeah, just
definitely.
Just every game they've had. So, yeah, man. And we thought the Rams would really light it up. They did against the against Arizona, but most off, you know, they haven't really exploded like that in the playoffs, right. You know, where they've just blown a team out 34-10 or something like that, like we think they can with that firepower, man. But every game so far has been watchable. They've all been close. And I really appreciate it, man, whether my team is in it or not. I appreciate the matchups.
And speaking of matchup, we've already got our matchup now for the Super Bowl. We know who it's going to be. And so we got the Cincinnati Bengals going to be playing the Los Angeles Rams in a road game. So, let's just be honest. It's in L.A. It's in their home territory. So, and even if San Francisco would have won that game on Sunday, it would have been a road game for the Bengals, because all those 49er fans that filled in the stadium this weekend. So, I feel for the Bengals. They are going on the road.
There's still potential. There's still potential that the Bengals could have more fans there than the Rams. This has been terrible, but it's been like that for the Rams since they've moved. It's always been like that. Them and the Chargers. They are every game is like an away game. Remember, we noticed that one year when they played the Eagles, and we were like, damn, it's a lot of Eagles fans.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Thing is, they had a really big loyal fan base in St. Louis. And, I was talking to my son about this weekend, because he didn't realize, because, of course, why would you, that they were in L.A. before they went to St. Louis, and then they went back to L.A. And in the 70s, when I was growing up, L.A. was, man, Vince Ferragamo and all these guys, they were a very popular team. And when they went to St. Louis, people in L.A. don't care. It's L.A. If you're not the Lakers, we don't. And the Lakers are really just for them for show. It's so that they can be celebrities on the court. They don't care about sports. And when the Raiders tried to move there and and make something of themselves. They couldn't get done in LA. So they've done a lot and put a lot of money into this team, into this stadium, to get this right now. And I don't begrudge them. I'm not going to sit there and call them the Yankees of the NFL. They could be called that. I don't even care about that. This is what sports is these days. And if you can't accept that sports is a business, if you can't accept that you have to pay money to win in a lot of situations, maybe not Cincinnati's situation, but in a lot of situations, you have to pay money if you want to get to the Super Bowl. I don't begrudge them that at all. The thing is, sometimes it works, and sometimes you have a lack of chemistry. You bring all these big-name guys in, sometimes they don't work. And so this is what L.A. wanted, and this is what they're getting. So if they lose this, it's going to be another disappointment, just like it was a couple of years ago when they laid a complete and utter egg against the Patriots after you know, working so hard and cheating against the New Orleans Saints to get there. And I don't begrudge that either. You want to knock somebody out, that's what you do to get to the Super Bowl. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the home fans react. You're right. The Bengals fans have been waiting 30 years for this, for another shot. And it could go either way. We'll talk about our picks as we get to the end, but it could go. It's really a tough one to call right now, 2 weeks out. I wish I speaking of 2 weeks out, why even run the Pro Bowl right now? I'm just thinking about it after the games were over. I'm like, we got to wait 2 weeks.
Yeah,
because of this stupid Pro Bowl that no one cares about.
And it's always been 2 weeks.
I know.
It's always been 2 weeks. And I don't mind it being the filler versus what did we used to get during that time?
I thought it's always been the Pro Bowl, but has there been?
Has it always thought the Pro Bowl was after the Super Bowl?
Well, they used to do
the longest time.
It wasn't always 2 weeks when I was younger. It used to alternate. Like some years, it would be the week after, and some they'd have the Pro Bowl in between. Sometime after, they played with that for so long to try to figure out what to do with the Pro Bowl. I talked to somebody about this weekend. You know, I had a friend over for the games, and we were like, "What I would do." It is, and I've said this a dozen times, probably said it to you, I would, instead of having a Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, I would move the Pro Bowl to the Hall of Fame game and make that the Hall of Fame game. You've got all the Hall of Famers there. Then you bring all the Pro Bowl players in there, so you got more opportunities to have guys sign autographs. No one's going to get hurt. It's the freaking Hall of Fame game. You know, it's the Pro Bowl. Nobody gets hurt in the Pro Bowl anyway. So it would be a great showcase for that new stadium they built in Canton. But you know they're not going to do it because they think the Pro Bowl is a moneymaker, so they're going to move it around and try to charge people lots of money to host it, which is just,
Vegas this year, right?
I think so. Yeah, because then I guess the Super Bowl is in Vegas next year. I don't know. I could care less about the Pro Bowl. I haven't really watched it. I may tune in for a quarter. But I just don't get into it. I just can't.
Yeah, I normally have to stumble upon.
Yeah.
The Pro Bowl. If it's on, if I'm home and I turn it on, I go, okay, I'll watch. You know, but other than that, I don't think I've watched one since back when what's his first name? Taylor from Washington.
Okay. Yeah. Are you talking about Sean Taylor before
Sean
you
Taylor?
Passed? Yeah, okay.
Sean
yeah.
Taylor. That was like one of the last
a while ago. Yeah.
Pro Bowls I remember when they were like tackling and hitting and everybody was trying to lay up and he was like, nah, we're playing today. And that was probably one of the ones that I remember.
At least they're doing.
I watched the one in Nick Foles too.
Okay,
Nick Foles
okay.
Had a good showing at one as well.
At least they're doing the AFC versus the NFC though, because when they did that whole fantasy draft and they had celebrity coaches, what is this? The Rock and Jock softball game on MTV?
Right. Come on, guys. You're making the mockery.
Yeah, and you got neon uniforms and they've toyed with this a million times. Just play it. Just let the AFC versus the NFC. But we do have, you know, some good Pro Bowl news just from the standpoint of the Eagles. Javon Hargrave was named as a alternate for the Pro Bowl, he's in. And Jake Elliott was named as well because Matt Gay is in the Super Bowl, so he can't go. Yeah. So that's good. A couple more Eagles in there, so that's four total that in there. And speaking of Eagles, if you were a part of the news media this weekend, you know, Tom Brady once again tried to steal the spotlight after he gets eliminated. He always does this. He can't wait until the Super Bowl is over because, you know, then the NFL news starts to dip. And now a lot of people say, okay, Tom Brady announced his retirement, but it was really Giselle that announced it because then his dad comes out and goes, Tom ain't announced anything. He's not retired. But to me, I am not buying it. I think this is their machine, what they do. Tom, is he going to go? Is he isn't? But one of the things I loved is, so we get the news that he is retiring. So there was a lot of people that were just poking a little bit of fun. And I love this. Brandon Graham, you know, who was actually at the University of Michigan, Tom Brady's Michigan alum. So he just did a nice little tweet to Tom Brady, said, appreciate you letting me be a part of your story. Hell of a career. Go Blue. But the picture is Brandon Graham with the strip sack in the Super Bowl, which is brilliant. So I just love Brandon Graham for doing that. So, yeah. It's
a little baby troll there. Little small troll.
It's just it's all in good fun. I mean, it's good stuff. So it happened when I saw the tweet. I had forgotten about Brandon Graham being injured. I forgot we even had him. It's just one of those things, you don't see him. Absence, it makes the heart grow fonder. Because as soon as I saw that, I went, damn, we're going to get Graham back next year. And it was like, could you imagine if he was healthy for the whole season? And then we got some draft picks coming in. So it was kind of exciting to see. But let's talk about these games here real quick. And we'll start off with the Cincinnati. The first game of the day was the Bengals and the Chiefs. And, I live out here in Ohio. And so there's a fondness. I'm not like a super Bengals fan. I'm an Eagles fan. But I don't dislike the Bengals, and unlike, like, I can't stand the Ohio State Buckeyes, but that's because I'm a Michigan fan. Yeah. But I have a soft spot in my heart for the Bengals game. I've been Paul Brown and seen, a few games there. I went to see them in a barn burner against Green Bay earlier in the year. Little did I know then, when they lost that in overtime to the Packers, that they would be in the Super Bowl. I didn't think that. I thought, hey, they got a really good offensive team. So they came in this as, I think, massive underdogs, 7.5-point underdogs. Not a lot of people, except for Boomer Esiason, really gave him a chance in this to out and out win in Kansas City. And again, the game started off. I mean, we talked. You said, you mentioned 21-10 at the half, but it was 21-3 right off the bat. And they didn't score their touchdown until right before the half, and then left a ton of time on the board for Kansas City to come right back down. And then everything changed. I mean, what were your thoughts going when you were watching this game? How crazy it was.
Well, I never thought it was crazy. I put my money where my mouth was, man. I took Kansas City this week. I actually lowered the line a little bit. It was 7 points mm-hmm. on the line, and I took them with 5.5, and I took them to win on another ticket, but the Rams didn't cover by a half. I had two parlays. I had the Rams and Cincy to win. Because, I mean, again, I said it when we got off the podcast, they beat them back in week 17, so you never know. Now, when they got out and they jumped out 21-3, did I think my ticket was still good? No. But then that Samaje Perine play just kind of came out of nowhere. Right. Like, you see the screen, but you go, oh, yeah, it's a screen. And then he takes it to the house, and it kind of busts the game open a little bit quietly because, you look up, it's only an 11-point game now. Even though it looks like Kansas City, and they were, just doing whatever they wanted to do, they was making football look very easy in that first half, just kind of getting it to their playmakers. Boom, boom, boom. And then, I thought two things was the turning point. One, letting that screen go for a touchdown. I thought Kansas City kind of let off the gas because you don't let that little screen go. He damn near went untouched for like 40-something yards. I thought they kind of let off the gas there or fell asleep for just a second. And then you come down and just the last couple play calls, the play to Tyreek Hill. Why would you throw the ball backwards with five seconds to go? You always have to throw the ball forward. So just to throw the ball backwards, and it just kind of left a And then you go, wait a minute, they were down. Deja vu. With the Yogi Bear, deja vu all over again. They were down 11 points just mm-hmm. a few weeks ago in week 17. And you go, man, there you go. And then you come out, second half, they get the ball, don't score, and you go, okay, here we go. Yeah. So.
you hit the nail on the head. It was the to me, the turning point of that game. I mean, they were on fire. In fact, I got another meme here. I love this meme that came out. And Eli Apple trying to cover Tyreek Hill during that was basically what it was like. Eli Apple, if you're an Eagles fan, you know who Eli Apple is. Used to play for the Giants. Hates the Eagles, has always talked trash about the Eagles. And then for some inexplicable reason, he's on the Bengals, and he's talking trash about Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts during the playoffs. And this guy, if you've watched Eli Apple when he was with the Saints, when he was with the Giants, this guy is so overrated. He's one of the weakest corners in the league, and he's lucked himself into a Super Bowl. And what he's doing right now is he's trashing everyone. So these receivers are going to remember this, and they're going to kill him. And Tyreek Hill had his way with Apple. I was pointing it out to my wife as we were watching the game. I'm like, look at this. He's getting killed by Hill. And Eli Apple deserves what's coming to him. So it was nice to see that happen in the game, because the first half was exactly that. It was dominance by Kansas City. And I had him, you know, I had Kansas City giving we got one of our listeners, Ace Taco TV, who's a Twitch streamer. He's also happens to be my son, but he put in there, dropped a huge interception too, which is right.
Pick six,
right in his hands.
End of regulation or an overtime, one or the other.
It was right in his hands.
Pick right to him.
I'm not a big fan of his, so it was nice to see him get burnt. Yeah. But I was still rooting for the Bengals.
He's been on five teams in the last 4 years. Yeah, exactly. He's barely making the practice squad.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, man, congratulations, you made it to the Super Bowl, but stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. Stop it. This is probably why you've been on this many teams, because mm-hmm. maybe it's not just talent. Maybe they're tired of seeing your mom drop you off at practice every day.
That's good.
Bum, man.
But anyway. You're right. The two plays that really made a difference for the Bengals, it was the end of that first half, was the P. Ryan, which – to me, P. Ryan is another player like Apple that I'm not very crazy about. During the Tennessee game, he dropped the pass. It went right through his hands, led to an interception. In this game alone, in the second half, they had a screen pass, and he ran the wrong way. And he's looking back at Burrow, like, confused.
Yeah.
Ended up leading to a field goal.
Yeah,
and they were like, everybody went to the right, but P. Ryan goes to the left. Now, in the screen pass right before the touchdown, he did the right thing. He had the blocking was there, and he just weaved his way through the end zone. Great play. And then the inexplicable, don't get come away with any points by the Chiefs right there at the end of the half. You got 5 seconds left. Either kick the field goal or throw it out of the back of the end zone. To throw it short like that, like you said, was so detrimental, because think about it, even if they just walk away with three, at the end of the game, the Chiefs are kicking the field goal to win. Not to tie and go into overtime.
Right.
That's such a huge decision that came back to haunt them. But what really blew me away, and I can't say this enough, is how well the Bengals defense rose up in the second half and held the Chiefs to just 3 points at the end of the game after getting smoked in the first. And I don't give Eli Apple any of that credit. Their defensive line, the T.J. Hill with the interception, just a thing of beauty, that led to the tying touchdown.
Crazy, just
amazing. But they were all over Mahomes in that second half. And in the first half, he was getting away. He was doing Mahomes things, which was really just, it's got to be so frustrating for defenses when he gets back there and he does 2 360s and just complete spins and then takes off. But in the second half, they were getting to him, you know, forced a fumble that they recovered back. But man, they were all over him. So,
I thought the Bengals defense. I thought the Bengals defense stepped up, but I just thought that, you know, as much credit as I want to give to the Bengals defense or the Bengals in general for coming back, because they still did what they needed to do. I always say football is complimentary. When your offense isn't clicking, you know, the defense was still holding on for dear life, and then they got it going, and then the offense started clicking at the same time. But it was almost like Kansas City Chiefs were throwing the game. Like, it just looked, everything they did was un-Kansas City-like for two quarters. They didn't throw the ball to Kelce or Hill at all in the whole second quarter. They stopped running the ball. All of a sudden, your key targets are Pringle and Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just looked, and I had the Bengals on my ticket. Like I said, I had them 5.5 points. And I had them and the Rams to win. I hit two.
Nice.
But it was just crazy. I had Burrow on a few tickets. I had a few tickets. I had like Burrow for two touchdowns and Cooper Kupp for one touchdown, another parlay. I mean, that was just boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, just overall, I thought more so the Chiefs blew this game. You know, especially with having a coach like Andy Reid, a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. if a Tyreek Hill did not touch the ball in an entire half, it's going to split the, like, it doesn't even make any sense. Like, for Travis Kelce to not even get a catch until about 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, it's like they just complicated football. It was just the craziest thing I've ever seen. And you see when Kelce made that one catch for the first down, he was pissed. He got up. He looked like, what are we doing? You have the Kansas City Chiefs are going to regret this loss more than any loss, because it's not forever when you have these guys in their prime, where you can have a Kelce, where you can have a Tyreek Hill. These guys are luxury. It is a luxury to have Travis Kelce. For him to not see the ball for a quarter and a half, I mean, I was sitting there on the couch like, I don't even understand what Tyreek Hill didn't even, like, he was in the game. Even if they're pressuring him, they didn't even give it to Hill on an end around. They never tried to get the fastest player on the field the ball. They never even tried to just even hand it to him. And then the first time you throw it to him is on a third down, after you throw the ball to Robinson two times again, even in overtime, they never even threw the ball to Kelce. It was the weirdest game I watched, man. I mean, shout out to the Bengals, but it was just the weirdest game I've ever watched. Man, the interception right to the lineman, it was just like, what is going on? It's crazy. Right, yeah.
Well, you know, craziness, man. Mahomes definitely from the start of the second half on. To me, what I noticed was it's part of them giving it up. And anytime you say a team was up 21-3 and they lose it in the second half, then they definitely gave it up. I mean, they definitely blew it. Part of it was, I think, the Bengals coming out in the second half with much more energy. There was times where Mahomes played so like Mahomes in the first half. In the second half, he looked erratic. He looked a little bit rushed. I think that the pass rush was a lot better in the second half, and that was kind of throwing him off his game. But it still doesn't excuse the fact, like you said, that they don't even come up with plays where you just throw it to Tyreek Hill in the flat and let him do his thing, or, you know, try to get Kelce over the middle, your go-to guys. Yeah, and the running stop, like you said, you know, Jerick McKinnon had 12 carries for 65 yards, and Edwards-Helaire had 6 carries for 36 yards. That's not going to get it done. I mean, granted,
and they
together,
were motivated in the first half. In the first half, they were motivated. Yeah. They were running hard, and they just went away from everything. I thought it was just the weirdest second half I've ever seen. But go down.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, and at the end, like I said, they let the Bengals get back into it, which was just amazing. With the T.J. Hill interception, led to a touchdown. The Ja'Marr Chase thing, he's getting grabbed all over, and there's people that are talking about the referees. Look, I saw things on both sides. I saw in the first half the Chiefs manhandling Ja'Marr Chase. They were holding his arms down, you know, and you know, granted, they would be facing the ball. I don't know if you saw the one play. I don't even know who the player was for the Bengals, but Ja'Marr Chase, they were trying to get it to him in the end zone. He's looking at the ball, but behind, he's got his arm reached behind his back, holding Ja'Marr Chase's arm down. Didn't get called. And there was calls like that. And there was, like, you know, they had in the end of the game, they had the illegal formation that was completely missed because the tight end was covered up by the wide receiver. And it led to the big play that got him.
It was inconsistent. Whatever they called it, was just inconsistent. I mean, T. Higgins' hand got, you know, pinned down on the first touchdown. You could have caught that one. His hand was pinned down.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Kelce got grabbed on one of the third downs. You know, out of the break track, you know, Kelce gets grabbed a little bit. It was a couple plays, man.
So the officiating was what it was, and it wasn't great, but it wasn't one-sided.
That wasn't
so
decided.
You can't. If you're a Kansas City fan, you can't hang your hat on that. You have to hang your hat on the fact that you had a 21-3 lead. You gave up a screen pass for a touchdown right before the half. You didn't get any points when you got it. And then the second half, you just laid an egg and didn't do anything offensively. And then, like, say, what just killed me was, like, we get it to overtime, and we have the coin toss thing again, where that's what killed the Bills. And, you know, the Bills gave up the play with 13 seconds. Right. Chiefs get the ball to start overtime and come right down the field and score. So you would think, when they win the toss this time, that they're going to win. But we got this meme up here that just is basically all smiles when you win the coin toss. And
how do you come out at halftime? Right. Yeah. Okay. So you survived that terrible second half, right?
Yep.
Whew, you're sitting around, you're looking at number 87. You got Travis Kelce with the yellow gloves on. I mean, even if you didn't see, he has yellow gloves on. The guy with the biggest player out there with the yellow gloves that wants the ball. Nah. Tyreek Hill.
Nope.
Cheetah himself. You know, he He got that. He didn't nickname himself that. He got that nickname. He earned that nickname because he is the most elusive person on that field. He is the fastest on that field. Nah, gonna go to him? No, not gonna go to him. I'm gonna hit Marcus Robinson. Craziest shit ever, bro. Yeah. Like, and then I'm gonna throw a jump ball.
Yeah, exactly.
To Tyreek Hill, double coverage.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. A rush pass to Robinson, rush pass to Robinson, jump ball to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
and you never throw one pass in overtime to Travis Kelce.
Yeah,
it make it make sense. Like, this is to put a part where it comes down to coaching too, where it's like, if you got a player that's, you know, hey, man, hey, you know, shake him a little bit, hey, throw it to Travis.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll live with the results.
I mean, it worked against the Bills. I mean, the Bills, they couldn't cover Travis. And granted, I think the Bengals were playing a little bit more man, so they weren't giving them the same lanes. Right. But he still is. It's Travis Kelce. Right. So, you know, it's funny. Man. It's funny when you look at the opposite sides of things, is that they weren't taking chances in the second half. They started to play safe, and Burrow comes out and says, "Hey, it's like that meme. You know, F it. I know Jamar's down there somewhere." I'm going to throw it to my best player. And they lost. Yeah. And here's the thing. Another thing about the Bengals, to give them credit, they lost Uzama right off the bat in the game. So they didn't even have a starting tight end to go to. And yet they still ended up surviving with T. Higgins and Chase. And, you know, like I say, you look at what they did. Let's the stats that they had. Jamar Chase again and Higgins. Higgins had 6 receptions for 103 yards. Great game for Higgins. And then you had Jamar Chase with the 54 yards and a touchdown. The beautiful touchdown at the end. And then they get the 2-point conversion, tie it up. Send it, you know, the Chiefs do get it into overtime. But that interception killed him by Von Bell. And it was into double coverage. And then you just kind of knew. And then the Bengals, they don't mess around. They're throwing over the middle to Higgins. They're throwing, they're getting the ball down the field. And getting them into
the field. They just made it real simple. They did what Mahomes was doing in the first half. They was just throwing the ball to Higgins. He threw the ball to Higgins 3 times in a row and didn't care. Exactly. But you won't throw it to Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I know.
It's
right?
So I have to go, you know, man. Like I said, they did what they needed to do. And their kicker, their kicker.
Yeah. For
McPherson, he's been clutch for them. He's been so clutch for them because, like I said, football is complimentary. They aren't throwing touchdowns. They aren't running them in. The last 2 games, they've won off the foot of their kicker.
Yeah.
To get them into overtime, that to put them up was McPherson made basically those back-to-back field goals.
To.
So
yeah.
If McPherson misses either one of those, it's a whole different story. It reminds me of Jake Elliott, man. We had Elliott in his rookie year.
Yeah, exactly.
And he led us all the way. You know, this Bengal teams remind me of the Eagles, where just everything just goes right.
Exactly.
You know, even if it looks bad. Because you look at the first game against the Raiders with, like, the Burrow touchdown that shouldn't have been. Just sometimes, man, things just go your way at the right times, man. It's just weird, you know.
Yep.
It's just sometimes inexplicably things just happen, like Mahomes throwing it to the pick to the lineman. Like, if that was somebody's bet, you'd have been rich.
Right.
You know?
So I tell you, man. You know, it's funny you say that about the Eagles, the comparison, because I was thinking the same thing. I was going to say the same thing. They have been underdogs since the giddy up. No one had them going anywhere, just like the Eagles in 2017. And then now they've got this mantra. If you haven't heard what they've been saying, it's not just Uday that they're saying. They're saying us against the world, us against the world. It sounds really similar to no one likes us and we don't care. Right. That was the Eagles mantra when they were underdogs. No one likes us. We don't care. And then now you got the Bengals out there going us against the world. And Burrow, before the game, initially they were saying, why not us? And then Burrow, before this game, went, no, let's stop saying why not us. Let's saying it's us. It's us, guys. Let's stop worried about why not us. We deserve this. And Burrow didn't throw 450 yards like he did against the Chiefs in Week 17. Mm-hmm. He had a good game. The one thing I will give Burrow credit on as far as just the leadership, in that second half, he was looking more like Mahomes than Mahomes was. And he's not a big mobile guy. He's young and athletic. But he was getting free of some. They had him dead to rights 3 or 4
times.
And he took off down the field without
just
those plays.
Weirdest.
Yeah, without those plays. They seem.
2 third downs.
As much as you want him going in the Super Bowl, you want to go, congrats, you got here to the Super Bowl. It's hard to root against them when they're like that Eagles team where everything just seems to go right. Just when you doubt them, things are falling in their lap and things are just destined to be that way. So it is going to be, I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl. I'm glad it worked out the way it is. It did. You know, NFC, on the NFC side of things, I'm not a big fan of California teams, just who I am. I'm not a big fan of California NFL teams. I've never been a fan of any West Coast teams like the Rams or the Chargers or the 49ers or even the Seahawks. Just never been, because they're on the West Coast and I don't give them any credit. But both teams coming into this, into the NFC Championship game, had exceptional defenses, like you mentioned earlier. And so if you didn't expect what you got, I saw people that were complaining online saying that after that Chiefs-Bengals game, that this defensive struggle between the Rams and the 49ers was a snooze fest. And I'm like, damn, you must not watch a lot of football, because this is two defensive juggernauts. Who's going to blink first? And granted, there are a lot of punts in this game, but man, there were a lot of hits. There were key plays that decided the outcome of this game. And in the end, of course, the Rams win by a field goal. So as an NFL fan in a championship game, how can you not love that too? It's a different game, and we were treated to it. What were your thoughts on this game?
Nah, man, I was rooting for the Rams because I had to, they were going to finalize my ticket and Cooper Kupp. I need Cooper Kupp to get a touchdown. We got a touchdown. He got two. But I need him to get one. So, and I needed Deebo Samuel to get a touchdown. So it was like Cooper Kupp scored, and then Deebo Samuels came back down and scored, man. But it was a game that I kind of expected, because they just played each other a few weeks ago as well. I think, last game of the season?
Yeah.
And it was just like this. The Rams got out on them, and then the Niners slowly crept back. Next thing you know, you're like, damn, Niners are up. Damn, Niners won. I think the last time they met, the Niners won that game. So I wasn't surprised by it. It's a divisional game. It's the third time you're playing them this year. Defensive team, Jimmy Garoppolo played a lot better in the first half, particularly than I thought he would.
Right.
Man, just to have guys like Deebo Samuel. Remember, I said it earlier this year. Man, where is our Deebo Samuels? The guy that you could just get the ball to, he just goes and scores. It's so crazy how he can just get the ball and just go score.
Phenomenal talent. One thing you could say about this game is that Deebo left it all on the field. It was sad to see him on the sidelines crying, because it means a lot to him. He's got to use it as motivation. I will say this. You said Garoppolo had a pretty good game. He did. Second half, he disappeared. I will say got up, which it blew me away that they got up 17-3 or 17-7. And I was like, wow, they've got this in control the way their defense is playing. And then it just stopped for the 49ers. Their offense just came to a grinding halt. They did absolutely nothing after that. And I feel bad for the team as a whole, because the way I look at the 49ers is this. Exceptional defensive team. Bosa and company, they've got who's the kid, their corner, Ward. Jimmy Ward is
okay.
Great plays in the game. He had the interception at the goal line, which to me could have really destroyed the Rams right up there. Their second drive, they come down, get in, the ball's tipped, and Ward comes down with it. He had some really good plays. He did have the unnecessary roughness on Odell Beckham late in the game that gave him a 15-yarder and put him in position to take the game-winning field goal. But they have an exceptional defense. And to me, if the Eagles had the 49ers defense, they would be an unstoppable juggernaut, even with Jalen Reagor as our second wide receiver, because they keep giving you opportunities to win. And I don't think Garoppolo did enough with those opportunities. If I were the 49ers, I would start looking at how are we going to integrate Lance into this lineup. Because honestly, I think if they would have actually worked with Lance early in the season, and I think Lance could probably have played better in this situation. Garoppolo, to me, he's there. He's a game manager. He doesn't seem like that guy that's going to win you the game. That he's going to take it like Burrow's did. Or like Mahomes has done in this playoff season, or like Stafford's done in this playoff season. The defense is what got him there. So I think that if they won, I think it would have been better for Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati, now I think the matchup's more even with the Rams in there, because I think the 49ers, not say that they couldn't have won the Super Bowl. I'm just saying that the matchup would have been a lot better for the Bengals as it was.
Right.
But Deebo Samuel, I mean, his what was his stat line at the end of the game? He had 26 yards rushing, but he had that screen pass. So he had 72 yards and a touchdown. It's amazing. But man, Cooper Kupp again, can't say enough. I mean, look at both receivers for the Rams. You had Cooper Kupp with 11 receptions for 142 yards again and two touchdowns. It's unbelievable. And then Odell Beckham, 9 receptions for 113 yards. That's a wealth of riches right there. And absolutely. You know, and they lost Higbee early, so they lost their tight end. So they had to rely on those guys really heavily throughout that game, and they came up big. And Stafford, too. What Stafford threw for 340 yards. So, yeah, he had 337 yards passing and a 96 QBR. So, you know, Stafford, again, this is something that he took over the game in the second half and needed to be there. I mean, this is the first chance he's had because we know I'm originally from Detroit. We know what Stafford's got. We knew he's a talented quarterback. Even when he doesn't have stars around him, he's a fairly accurate passer, but his knock on him is he couldn't win the playoffs. I don't believe that. He couldn't win with Detroit in the playoffs is what it was. Right. He was saddled with a lot of average teams in Detroit, except for when he had Megatron. And they wouldn't. My problem with the Lions, and this is why they're still not in a Super Bowl to this day and not even sniffed one, is they get one or two stars, and just like they did with Barry Sanders back in the day, and what they did with Megatron, what they did with Stafford, they milk them to get people into the stadium, and then they use them up and let them go. And then they get the next one. They draft some other superstar, but they don't build around them. They don't get him an offensive line. Stafford never had a running back in Detroit that could really dominate the game or take some heat off of him. So I'm glad that Stafford did well in this game and is going to the Super Bowl. I'm glad for him as a you know, former Detroiter, and know how much agony he suffered, and his wife and all the stuff she's been through with her health concerns. So
Yeah, man. This is going to be either a young gun or one of the old heads finally gets one. You know, Stafford, it's like, what, his 10th or 11th season? He's no youngin'.
Yeah. He came in 2009, I think. Yeah, so he's been around.
Yeah, so he's 13th season or so. So, you know, good for him, man. Yeah, he's always been a solid quarterback. You know, he's had his ups and downs. He's just known for a high volume, which, you know, you have to do it all by yourself like that. And it's proven that even when you have, let's just talk about high volume quarterbacks like Stafford, you know, Peyton Manning was a high volume passer. Mm-hmm. And that high volume passing still only got him one ring. I know he got one in Denver, but he could barely throw the ball 10 yards that year.
Right.
He was benched for half of the year or something like it was a little power. Was it him and Trevor Siemian or something like that? Like, he wasn't the same. He was a game manager and he made the throws when he needed to, but he definitely didn't have that rifle after that neck surgery.
Right. Definitely.
And the steroids. But anyway, So, and you know, if you don't have a defense to back you up, man, it looks bad. And for so many years, the Colts didn't have a defense because in Detroit, I mean, you had Megatron, you know, arguably the greatest wide receiver at any field he stepped on. He had the advantage when it came to at least one guy. So he has some talent there. He has some bad coaches, you know, Schwartz being a coach. No, yeah, he's had some. You know, Caldwell didn't get it done there. Schwartz didn't get it done there. I think Fisher was up there. Was Fisher up there?
Yep, Fisher was up there.
You know, he's had good. He's had marquee, you know, name wise coaches, but because Caldwell did coach in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. I think Fisher did as well. So he had the coaches by brand, but they just couldn't get it done in Detroit. He is what I imagine. Is what I want the Eagles to do. You want to continue to build around a quarterback, whether you think he's the future or not, whether they knew they were done with Goff or not, you build around him and then whoop, you swap at the end. But you have to figure out if it's Goff or not. Right. And they knew after that last year, it's Goff.
Right.
Let's get Goff up out of there. They brought Von Miller in and Odell Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, geez, man. Sonny Michel as well.
Yeah,
Sonny Michel. Just veterans. Just veterans, guys that have been in Super Bowls. Michelle's been in the Super Bowl. You know, you have, you know, probably going to be the league MVP in Cooper Kupp. They have a rapport. You know, that third down catch by Kupp, man, where he just fit it, just it was just like either that was going to get knocked down, pick, or just zoop, right into Kupp. He caught it.
Right.
Big, one of the biggest plays of the game, you know. So, and just having Odell, you can tell Odell lost a step, but he can catch, man. You know, he's still a good hands catcher, even when he got that cheap shot.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, he still makes that catch first and then takes that shot, you know. So, yeah, man, shout out to Odell for coming back from an ACL injury. Shout out to Joe Burrows, too, from coming back from an ACL injury.
Oh, unreal. You know, unreal.
These guys have these, you know, not a lot of people bounce back from them, man. Not a lot of people bounce back. So I am looking forward to this. I don't know where the Niners go from here. Just close out on the Niners.
Yeah.
Move on to the Super Bowl and all that. I don't know where the Niners go. I haven't really watched a lot of Trey Lance. I didn't really watch him a lot in college, so I can't even really vouch for him. But they still need a solid running back. I know maybe Sermon will come back because I know they picked up Sermon. So they have some horses in there. You know, Elijah Mitchell will get him another year. So maybe they don't need anything at running back. Ayuk still good. Debo Samuels is – they're going to have to pay him. And you have Kittle. So they have some guys. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo was still playing with a top three tight end.
Right.
You know, and Debo Samuels. Not a lot of people can really say – you have Debo Samuels,
right,
and Kittle, and you have solid running backs. You know, so you definitely underperformed. Mm-hmm. That team should have probably did a lot more than what they did if they had a little bit better quarterback play, because their defense literally carried them throughout the entire season.
Right, right, and so that's actually one of my points I was going to make is that you just said exactly what I was about to say. Was it Samuel, Ayuk, and Kittle? And you had 232 yards passing. And granted, I know that the Rams defense, they have Jalen Ramsey, they have Von Miller, they have Aaron Donald. They was under a lot of pressure. Both defensive lines controlled the game. But he has some really big stars. Now, the problem was, I think the Rams shut the run down like no one else. Elijah Mitchell had 20 yards rushing on 11 carries for 1.8 yards per carry average. Debo Samuel outrushed him with 26 yards. That's how bad their run game was. And I think that was a huge factor in getting the Rams there. And it's something that'll be interesting to look at in the Super Bowl is how the Rams handle Mixon, which to me, Mixon's on another level. And hopefully we see more Mixon than Perine. I just, like I said, that's my own personal thing. I'd like to see more Mixon out there. But we'll see. It's really one of those things that's it's tough to predict after watching both conferences who's going to come out ahead. One last thing on Stafford. It's just an interesting note. Footnote is that in January 30th of 2021 was the date that the Rams traded for Matthew Stafford, and just coincidentally that on January 30th, 2022, he wins the NFC Championship game and is going to the Super Bowl. So, congrats to Matt Stafford and the Rams. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are going to cover the aftermath of the Super Bowl the day after, so be sure to tune in for that. I think what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about the halftime show, which we got a big one coming up with a lot of old school stars, Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, Eminem, Snoop Dogg. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're talking about the commercials. So we got a lot to talk about when we get to the Super Bowl. But before we do, we got our favorite segment that we got to cover each and every week. And it's my favorite segment. I don't know if it's your favorite thing. It's always mine. So we got to poke a little fun.
I would not put it past.
All right. So, for all those that are listening to the podcast and can't see the live stream, the Hell to the Nah this week is a meme showing the real reason why the Chiefs lost. And it zeroes in, the camera zeroes in on a Chiefs fan. I kid you not, if you haven't seen it, with a Cowboys hat on. I mean, this one guy, he put bad juju on the entire Kansas City roster with bringing that stuff into the stadium. Seriously, dude, commit to one or the other. And just kudos to who picked it up. I mean, this is ridiculous. I've just never seen anything like that.
But it's very Cowboy fan-like. I mean, it's very Cowboy. This is what you expect. I'm not surprised at all. As soon as I said that, yeah, that makes sense. Now, if he had an Eagles hat on, I would be
Oh, yeah. No, no. I wouldn't even put that up here.
Having a Cowboys hat, I wouldn't expect anybody other than a Cowboys fan to do this. So, and still have the stupidity to rock your hat at the same time. I mean, like, nobody tapped you like, hey, bro, you know, you got your Cowboys hat on.
Exactly.
Like, you're crazy right now.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those guys that has like multiple jerseys on at once, and when that team loses, he just rips that one off, and he's got the next team on that he can root for.
Yeah, man.
I mean, seriously, I mean, come on, dude. You can be fan. I'm not saying you can't be a fan of two different teams in the NFL. That, I'm not saying that. And so maybe this guy is a Dallas Cowboy fan originally, and he's got family in Kansas City. I'll give him the benefit, but still, just don't go to the game that way, dude.
They gave him a jersey right before he got out the car. I was like, hey, you want to wear the Mahomes jersey? He was like, okay. You know, like, all right, I just came here to rock my Cowboys hat. Like, okay, I'll throw it on to support y'all.
Yeah, and he's probably got a Cowboys hoodie on under there. But really, he gave bad juju to the Chiefs. He probably showed up at half.
He's a Texas Tech alum. That's probably why he's like, see, I'm from Texas, but Texas Tech alum. And that's where Mahomes went, so I have this jersey on.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and it's a funny thing is that he must have showed up at halftime, because that's when everything went wrong for the Chiefs. That's when Walker Hayes came out to perform at the halftime show. Did you see that mess?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't see that? No. Oh, man. Google it. You won't be sorry. So CBS is doing their halftime commentating. You know, they're doing the highlights. And they were on the field. And so they come back, and right when they're starting to talk, you know, Boomer Esiason, James Brown, they're just getting going. And all of a sudden, over the loudspeaker, welcome Mercury Recording Artist, Walker Hayes. Everybody's loud. And all of a sudden, it was like, bow, 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 bow. And it was super loud. And you couldn't hear anything they were saying. And yet they didn't stop. They didn't stop. So they just keep mouthing. Boomer Esiason is at the end of the table going, I don't know what any of you just said, but I'm just going to say what I got to say because I can't hear you. And it was so uncomfortable. And what's his name? I can't remember. The receiver used to play for the Lions, who's on there all the time. And he starts dancing.
Is that the guy on Good Morning Football?
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
what's his name?
Yeah.
Anyway, I know.
Nate Burleson. Thank you. Yeah. So he's shimmying to the beat, because what else can you do? And it was
that embarrassing. Huh?
So it, actually, from like we talked about, from the screen pass to P. Ryan to going for it and not getting points, and then the bad blow up at halftime. You know, everything just started to go wrong for the Chiefs. Again, that destiny. Everything. It is that destiny. I tell you something else that went wrong is my picks. I mean, since the playoffs started, I have been just, I don't know. I'm just done. I was struggling to hold on through the whole season. I had a really good start in the picks game, and it just sort of just kind of fell off. And then I got into the playoffs, and I started trying to take chances. And what got me was going by trends. I know from past seasons that the favorites and the home teams usually tend to cover or dominate. And that just hasn't been what's happened this season. So unfortunately for me, I'm now down to third place in the picks game at 100 points. And just above me is Darren Muir at 120. And Tim Case, it's over. He actually won the entire thing. So I actually sent him his money today. So congratulations to Tim Case, who is our back-to-back champion. He won it last year.
Jeez.
And I had a chance. So he's pocketed some pretty good money. I'm not going to say how much, but he pocketed some good change out of this game, and I had a shot. Now, I still have a shot at second place, which there is a prize for second and for third, but everybody all the way down to fourth place is in this, because if the Super Bowl is worth 20 points. So I could either get into second, or I could actually finish behind everyone in this top seven, which is crazy. Because if I drop to 80 and everybody below me gets the pick right, then I end up tied for fourth place with everyone. And then we have a points pick where you got to do total points. So I literally could finish behind all these people after leading all season. But, you know, I keep telling myself it's just a game. It's just the game. It's no big deal. I'll survive. I mean, I will. I don't play. I play for the money, yeah, but I play for the fun. We've been doing this picks game since 2001, maybe even 2000. But I know we started in 2001, and it was just a couple of guys that got together and we started doing this, and it's grown into a big thing where all of us are friends for years, I've been playing it, picking against the spread. You were in it for a little while, so you know what it's like. We have fun. So I'm disappointed that I did not win this year, but it's not the end of the world. So, and this is how these two teams are going to have to face. Somebody's going to be disappointed they don't win this game, but it's not the end of the world. But we hope for a great game. And so that's what's coming up is 2 weeks from now, the Super Bowl, and that is 56. Unbelievable. You know, the Super Bowl's only been around, I'm not going to say. I was going to say how old I am and how long it's been around. But let's just say I've lived through most of the Super Bowls.
Right on.
You know, I may have been a baby, right, but I lived through most of the Super Bowls, which is just crazy. So, yeah, and this one is 56. So, Bengals in it for the third time. I don't know how many times this is for the Rams. They haven't been in a while except for 2000 when they beat the Titans and then they lost to the Patriots not long after that. And I don't think that's the last time they've and when then they lost to the Patriots in 2018. So they've had their share.
Did Mark Bulger take them to the Super Bowl as well?
Well, I know that Kurt Warner did.
Right.
In 2000 when they beat the Titans with the stretch. The Patriot game that Tom Brady's first Super Bowl was against the Rams. I thought that was Warner as well, but I could be
wrong. So that was back-to-back, I guess, then.
That was close. It was. It might have been. I think it was 2004. Hold on.
Well, that puts them at 2-3, so this is at least maybe their fourth.
They've been.
I don't know if they made it with Eric Dickerson and stuff.
Yeah, if you go back to the 70s, they had a couple of teams that were pretty good. So let's see here.
Eric Dickerson days? Or
so I just happen to have a handy-dandy guide to the Super Bowl that I keep. I'm such a nerd that I keep in my phone. So the Rams, actually, if you go back through the history of the Super Bowl, the Rams lost to the Steelers in 1979. So that was their first appearance in the Super Bowl. And then they did not appear again until 1999-2000, where they won against the Titans. And then 2001, so 2 years later, they lost to the Patriots in Tom Brady's first Super Bowl win. And then they appeared again. Just so this is their, they've only have one victory, and that was the 99 season, the 2000 Super Bowl, and then they've had three defeats. 1, 2, 3.
So they're 1-3. This is their fifth Super Bowl.
Yep. That's what
right on. Saying. Right on.
So good stuff. Okay. Good stuff. So, you know, hey, it is what it is. I was actually wondering, I thought the Rams had won more than that, but they just have the one in 2000. So go for them as well in Stafford. But so that brings us to it. Right now, the early spread for this game is 4 points. Rams are giving 4 points from everything I've seen early.
Right.
So now comes, you know, the moment of truth. Who you got in this game?
Man, I'm going to use the same, my little betting philosophy I use even with the Chiefs game. You know, if the team is away, they normally push it, you know, 2.5 to 3 points, you know, for the home team. So you just automatically get 2.5 to 3 points, even if you're a bad team. It's just the way the odds makers, you know, kind of sway it. Rams being home and it still being a 4-point spread makes me believe that it's probably a 1.5 to 2-point spread game, you know, in all reality. So I think in a 2-point spread game, I'll take the Rams. I think I'll take the Rams to win. I can see it being just like that, the Niners game, probably 20-17, maybe 24-17. I can see that happening, especially if they get the run game going. I think that the Rams play to Burrow's weakness. You know, you give up 9 sacks against the Titans. Wait until you meet Aaron Donald and Von Miller. You know, you got some pretty skilled guys, man, on that defense. You know, Ramsey, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's been dropped a lot of picks, but, you know, they got some guys out there. They got some superstars, man. Von Miller's already a champion, you know. He knows what it feels like. And Aaron Donald's hungry, man. Aaron Donald's going to be coming at him all day. He's not going to lose him like Chad Jones did. You best believe that. He's going to swallow him up. He's not just going to have that soft approach to it. So I think that's the weakness. I'll take the Rams, man. I'll take the Rams about 24-17.
That sounds right. So here's my thing is that I really have a soft spot in my heart for the Bengals. As it goes back to the underdog thing. It goes back to the fact that I'm living here in this area. And I don't mind them like I hate the Buckeyes. I kind of they've been the patsy for a while. I like the old Boomer Esiason days. So bring that back a little bit. I think that they deserve a Super Bowl as fans, long-suffering fans. But I think that this is about as good as it gets for them right now. What I've noticed is they're celebrating, the fans and the players, like they just won the championship. For them, getting there meant a lot. They're really over-celebrating compared to the Rams, who are focused on the prize. And my belief is that the Rams, this is kind of, like we talked about, this is kind of it for them. They've got maybe a couple more good years with this team. But it's tough to get back there. So this is what they paid for to get. This is what their money's buying. And the Bengals, I really believe, once they get an offensive line, they're going to be around for a while. The AFC is passing the torch from Brady and the Patriots to this new regime of Burrow and company and the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs and the Bengals, we're going to see that game in the AFC Championship game at least one or two more times in the next decade, at least. I believe that. But going into the game, I think that the biggest point you make is that offensive line. Granted, we've said it every week that the offensive line is going to let the Bengals down, give up 9 sacks to the Titans and still win. But the Titans aren't the Rams with the firepower they've got. You know, granted, they have Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry was coming back off an injury. It wasn't the same type of Derrick Henry. They had Julio Jones, A.J. Brown. It isn't quite the same. So if you look at it logically and you look at, like they said, that offensive line being the weakest in the entirety of the playoffs, it's really hard to pick them in the Super Bowl, even getting 4 points. It really is. Because the way I see it is, if they can keep Burrow off his spot, and the Rams can do just enough against the Bengals defense to score, like you said, 24-17, that seems logical to me. I'm gonna steal your pick as well and say 24-17 Rams. I think it'll be a fun Super Bowl, and I think that it could very easily bomb to Ja'Marr Chase out of nowhere in the fourth quarter. You know, the Bengals just hang around like they do. Hang around, throw some bomb, because we know as Eagles fans that that's how it goes when you're the underdog. Yeah, so
you let it fly. But who's going to guard Cooper Kupp?
I know.
That is just, hey, if you put Eli Apple on him, it's going to be apple pie. It's going to be apple pie. So that is besides the O-line, D-line play, O-line play, you know, depending on which way you're looking at it,
yep.
Who is going to guard Cooper Kupp? You don't think Cooper Kupp is going to get at least 15 targets in this game, you best believe Matthew Stafford is like, look. he doesn't forget to go to his big guys in the big moments. And I think Cooper Kupp can just have his way with that Bengals secondary. I really do. I really do. And then, you know, if Cam Akers and Sony Michel do anything, if they get anything going, it's going to force Burrow into passing situations. And that's where a defensive line can just pin their ears back. They don't have to worry about the run. They just know what they're doing. So, but they run the screen well. That is one of their strengths. If I can give Bengals a strength, they run the screen well to aggressive lines.
They're going to need a lot of it.
Raiders have aggressive lines. They didn't run it that well against the Titans, but they still won the game. It is what it is. But just being able to play good screens, you know, Mixon is a really good every down back if you need him to be. He can catch. He can really go all three downs. So you got some special players over there, man, for the Bengals, man. Like you said, Ja'Marr Chase. But T. Higgins is – I know Jamar's had a year, but T. Higgins on some weeks has carried them some weeks. Especially for the last couple weeks heading into the season, T. Higgins was their big dog. I mean, even if Chase had the touchdowns, but the receptions, man, T. Higgins has been his guy, man. And Boyd is falling about third on that list now. And that's still very Tyler Boyd is still a really good wide receiver. He was starting for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that much. I agree. And so if they get Uzama back, then they do have weapons to compete. I think offensively, even with the massive pass rush of the Rams, I think the Bengals are going to score some points. That's obvious. Right. It really just comes down to, like you said, who guards Cooper Kupp. And one of the things that we haven't even acknowledged is that a lot of the teams they play outside of Kansas City that were run first offenses. The Raiders go with Jacobs most of the time, and they let Derek Carr. He does throw downfield, but they do rely on Jacobs a lot. Titans rely on Henry. So the Chiefs is the only real team that pass heavy. And like we talked about earlier in the podcast, high volume passing, would you get from Stafford? They're going to see a lot of passing. Because like you said, Cam Akers and Sonny Michel are not going to get a high volume carries. They're going to get enough. But, I mean, when you've got Stafford throwing 45 passes in a game, it's going to be really hard to overcome that unless you've got really, really good corners. And I think that the Bengals are adequate. But if you're not letting Apple cover Cup, which they shouldn't, that means he's probably covering Beckham. So one or the other, it just spells disaster. So my heart, Bengals, head says Rams. That's who I put my money on. And since I did pick them, I'm probably going to be wrong, and I'll lose that pick too. and that's how it'll work out in the end. So
it's probably one of the few Super Bowls where I'm not leaning either way. Like, I'm just kind of watching it. Like, oh, that's cool. Burrow's win. Stafford finally gets some ones. Probably can put him, you know, in a better conversation now. So,
yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. I think, and not having that team that you really don't want to see win, I think it's going to make it a more fun Super Bowl. And we're going to cover it in 2 weeks when it does occur. So we won't be back next week. We'll be back the week after to discuss this. We're not going to do a Pro Bowl episode. I'll tell you that right now. We're not going to do a recap of the Pro Bowl. I may not even watch it, but I probably will. There's probably nothing else. Oh, the Olympics start. So maybe I'll watch some Olympics. The Winter Olympics starts this week. So maybe I'll watch some of that. So, but anyway, we will definitely cover the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about the commercials. We're going to talk about the halftime show. We're going to talk about the game, of course, which is the most important thing. If you're watching for the other two, then what kind of fan are you? Those are just supplementary. Right. And we'll be back here. And thank you for joining us. If you joined us on one of the live streams, we appreciate it. Apparently, we've got 5 new followers in China. So those are probably legit. I'm assuming they just want to hear the podcast, that it's not a scam. It can't be. They just genuinely, they've heard about us. You know, maybe because the Winter Olympics are coming, they want to hear more about American sports. That's what the analytics tell me anyway. So maybe we'll get some more Chinese listeners. It would be fun. Who knows? But thank you for tuning in to the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. If you want to email us, you can do so as long as it's in English. If you email us in Chinese, I'm not going to be able to read it. I'm just telling you that right now. At our email address, which is lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, eaglesdare@gmail.com. And if you're listening to us on one of our podcast providers like Spotify or Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or Castro or Podcaster, please make sure you subscribe so that you get notified whenever we've got a new episode out, because you don't want to miss another moment of this show. So, regardless of the Eagles being in or out, like I said last week, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words.
Thanks for listening. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody.